I've never been in the women's locker room. Have you been in the women's?
No. No.
That's an awfully quick answer, Mike.
What do you think about what do you think about the locker rooms in general in St. Paul?
We're talking about locker rooms?
Just wondering if you have any observations.
I have no complaints.
What's the mixed one? I've never been in there either.
Same as the men's. I've never been in the women's, but Jordan has apparently, so.
Unbelievable.
Have you been in?
Unbelievable accusations here on the pod.
You're listening to Stonecast, Curling in the Twin Cities, with Christopher Lisney and Jordan Wickland.
Today we're talking to Mike Barrett, a nominee for the St. Paul Curling Club Board of Directors.
Well, if I had some champagne, I'd pop it and we get that great sound, because you're the first...
Yeah.
Interviewee Mike Barrett of Stonecast, the unofficial podcast of the Twin Cities curling community, until we find a better handle.
Not sure how I feel about that.
Well, I'm Jordan Wickland. I've been curling 5 years in the Twin Cities, and this is...
I'm Chris Lisney, and I've been trying to curl for a couple years.
And we're interviewing Mr. Mike Barrett, and yes. We don't have your bio, so you're going to have to give us... What you wrote for the...
We're in the jail at St. Thomas. It's a great location, and I really like it. The ambiance is great.
It's a beautiful campus.
Yeah. It's the jail is kind of dark, though, don't you think? Seems dark to me.
Well, I did notice all the blinds were closed on the windows, and I didn't know what to think about that, and I couldn't find a door.
That's because it's too nice outside. We should be outside right now. Mm-hmm. The easiest way to explain it is to say that I'm on the Al Sonnenberg Tuesday rink, and Al got his neighbor, I'm sorry, he got one of his co-workers involved prior to Al retiring. And his neighbor turned the interest in curling into a Sunday team back when the Novice League started, and I became the fifth man on the Novice team. And so I'm curling the 4 o'clock, no longer novice. It's very competitive, as you know, very competitive league. And it's, I think, the funnest league.
It is.
Absolutely.
The early Tuesday league?
Early Sunday is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And then I started subbing on Big Al's team a number of years ago, 2-3 years ago. And Tommy Piper fell, and we lost Tommy to curling. He was down Tuesday night, our good luck charm. We won last Tuesday, so I'm now permanently on that team. And that's been a tough year with Big Al going down, and the injury fell on the ice and was out for a good solid month, and now is just spectating the rest of the year until next year.
So let's talk about junior curling. So, I got a couple questions, and these are hard-hitting questions, because my daughter is 7, and she's doing Little Rocks, which this weekend I was curling with this dude, and he told me that he thinks that nobody really should start curling until, like, 10 or 11, which I like it because I like that she's active, but they don't really do anything that exciting. But you've probably been involved with junior curling for a long time.
I've been curling 7 or 8 years, and probably since I started, I got my kids involved. And
which is a great program, free.
It's it's 100% free. Where do you get that? And free means free. It's not hidden costs or...
Well, you have to do snacks every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, and that's if you can afford them, I think. It's not everybody brings snacks.
I was recruited to bring snacks by Dave Wilson. That's right, though. I felt like it was...
Dave recruits a lot of people for a lot of different things.
Anyway, so you've been doing a long time. You got your kids involved right away. It's a great deal.
And then I got sucked into the vortex of this whole instructing thing. A whole number of years ago, I looked out and Lonnie Strassman was about the only poor soul on the ice. And he was not with the bigger kids and sheet, middle sheets 4, 5, and 6 of 8 sheets. And so I just agreed I'd go out and herd the cats. I didn't know what I was doing. Within a couple of years, I got my level 1 instructor out of the way, which doesn't mean much. It's more of a learn to curl type, less about the competitive side. That's more level 2 instructor certification. But spent, once I got more into the instructing, the parents who wanted to curl competitively, sucked me right into the vortex. And now I'm hooked and I don't have a choice. I voluntarily hooked and no one else will take this job. So
that's great,
but it's fun. It's, the kids are great. And, you know, anytime you're with kids, it's great, but these curling kids are the greatest, absolutely the greatest.
And two of them are your own.
Two are my own. I have an 18-year-old now and a 15-year-old.
Named?
Dylan is 18 and Marin is 15.
I gave Marin lots of money playing cribbage at the Rugspiel last year, I think.
I also gave Marin lots of money playing cribbage. She stole the champion hat from my buddy Jeff. And
she was 2 years champion.
I think she's 3 years champion if that last year counts. I think it should. I think there were some shady things going on. Jeff wanted rematch after rematch after rematch.
I do remember at the end of that, it was just like, let's have another rematch. I'm like, really? Just let it go. But
the rug event's a great event. It's coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. You guys curling in it?
I wasn't given permission.
Nor I. I had to check with the boss as well, and I'm finishing a thesis in grad school, so I can't.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm sorry too, but it's over in 2 weeks, so that's going to be great. Well, I have had the pleasure of curling with Marin a few times.
Me too.
Not with Dylan, but she is sporty and she is fun. And when I met her 2 years ago, she was way better than our entire team. And she was on the side of the ice, socking us in the arm and asking us, why did we miss that shot? And what was that call? I didn't understand that call. And so we're thinking about promoting Marin and asking her to join our Sunday team.
She
knows her stuff.
She's currently available.
Off? That's what I want to know. Who are you going to kick off?
Well, that's that remains to be seen.
Let's get it on the record.
Nah, you know, there's a lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have yous, so this sort of thing. So. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to think her skill has everything to do with the instruction and coaching that she's at.
Absolutely.
The coaching is interesting because I went out on the ice quite a bit because Ruby didn't want to be out there by herself. So I'm like, well, I'm going to go out. And I hated it. At first, it was fine. It's just that, you know what, those little kids, they're just like running around. And it's like an hour and a half of running around on the ice. And you're just like, don't fall and kill yourself. Don't fall and kill yourself. And then I look in the windows and I see all the other parents that are in there drinking coffee, watching. And I'm like, how do I get on that side? So then I started coming up with things like, oh, I've got to put the snack out, or I've got to go grocery shopping. I've got to do something.
We need the help. I hate to say it's a shameless plug, but we need the help on that ice. It's,
yeah,
whether it's little rocks or even if you're shagging rocks or holding the broom at one end for the older kids, it's...
How does it go? So now I heard, so Ruby's at the very bottom, and then you go from little rocks, which is, you know, this is how you throw a rock, and this is how you walk on the ice, too. Then there's the next level up is bantams.
Yeah.
And then what happens at bantams? Do they actually play? I think you actually put a team together? Or?
Well, if we're going to talk long-term curling and the sport, the health of curling, we should be forming teams at that point. Our problem at our club, biggest club in the country, is finding ice time for the kids. And so specific to your question, yeah, I think they throw rocks and curl some modified games, but even on sheet 4, 5, and 6, those sheets are not for competitive curling. They're for instructing. Mm. And even 4, 5, and 6, the point is to develop and fine-tune deliveries and strategy and everything else. And that's where they really become good curlers for the competitive side, which happens after.
So you're saying there aren't a lot of places where they can actually play competitive games?
Well, I've now gone from two teams of coaching to just one, just my boys' team. We're looking at more adult spiels, more cash spiels next year, state club playdowns for competitive curling, just for more opportunities for juniors to curl. Otherwise, it's 4 hours to Madison, which we do every year, and a couple hours plus to Duluth, which we do.
The high performance team, like their juniors, do that too. They just compete along with everybody else.
We were going to save that conversation for the end.
Nice. We're going to talk high performance team?
Yeah. That sounds great. When is curling going to become a Minnesota State High School League sanctioned sport?
Interesting you say that. So my daughter is a sophomore. She'll be a junior next year. I'm pretty much out of time with her. Dylan has committed to the University of St. Thomas and will start next fall. I currently have two other competitive junior curlers that go to St. Thomas that are interested in a college team.
Mm.
And so my focus now is more on the college side.
Okay.
But it's for us to get to level of Wisconsin, that'd be awesome for high school.
Cool.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
There is the college championships are in Chaska this weekend, actually.
They are.
So just to maybe wrap that conversation, what's the first step in promoting juniors curling or getting more involved, kind of at more like a grassroots level, before we think about college or even maybe high school?
We keep doing what we're doing in St. Paul.
Good.
You're looking at 60, sometimes more, 70-plus kids out there every Saturday, that's what it's all about. When they're 6, 7, 8 years old, we need to keep them coming back. And if it's letting them belly slide across sheet 7, so be it.
Yeah.
Once they move to that Bantam level and we try to hook them, do we think they're going to stay for longer? Is this just a daycare for mom and dad to drop the kids off? And yeah, we get that. But we get a lot of good competitive curlers. My boys team is curling in the rug event, which we should add is a club-only bondspiel that is with 100% of the proceeds going back to the junior program. So this won't air in time, but any donations are always welcome to the junior program.
Any money that we make off of this episode, we're going to donate right to the junior
program. Yes, absolutely.
$1.50. All right.
We'd be lucky to get $1.50.
Yeah. Well, you're running for the board, so or nominated running. How does that situation work? Do you have to be nominated? Do you let it be known that you're interested in serving in an administrative capacity for the curling club?
You're recruited, and sometimes I wonder if it's because they don't like you. That's why I put that nice picture up of me in my bio, is if you want me nominated because you don't like me, vote for me. But all kidding aside, it's a volunteer organization, and it's got a lot of members, and it's dependent on, like most organizations, 20%, maybe less, do the work, and everybody else is there to have fun and learn the sport of curling. So it's a lot of work. And I spent nearly 20 years on a board of directors for my alumni, my high school, St. Paul Johnson, my alumni board. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, a lot of dedication. For me, it's really about what you can offer, not, you know, if your commitment, your dedication is to help out on Saturday mornings. That's more than a lot of people do. If you, I'd rather see that than the people chipping about, well, we should put an elevator in and we should do this and we should do that. And while we should, yeah, we should do a lot, but there's only so much we can do with the members we have and the money we have.
So. The club that I was in this weekend, their floor fell through, or they needed to put a new floor in at the beginning of the season because it was all kiddy-wampus, and they had an inspector come out, and they looked at it, and they had all these joists underneath, and the inspector said, you can't have anybody on this club. So they had to rip that all out, wow. And they missed half their curling season, which is sad.
Not as bad as Mankato.
What happened there?
Well, they lost their ice plant and replaced their ice plant and lost the replacement.
Really?
They haven't had ice for, somebody will correct me that's listening, three, four years.
You don't have to worry about many people listening yet, Mike.
Oh, I've got a call right now. I got a tweet coming in here.
Give it a year. We'll see what happens. That's fun. Well, if money were no object, what to the facility itself, what is the thing we need at the curling club?
There isn't a single place to start.
Yeah.
But if you go to look at Duluth Curling Club.
Love Duluth.
Duluth, the TVs are flipped the other way. So you get from the hog line back to the back line. Mm. You get to see the full sheet of play. So if we do that, what else do we give up? And it's about establishing the priorities.
Yeah.
We need to replace the tubing in the floor. Do we need concrete floor? We have to be careful how many upgrades we do, because my understanding is then we have to upgrade the whole facility, which includes, like I said before, an elevator and other things.
What would you add to the club? Not maintenance things, you know, not like, oh, we want to have a better roof. We don't want none of that. Just like what would be really cool to add to the club?
I couldn't think of one thing.
Weight room. We should have a weight room. You see those curlers? Holy cow, those competitive curlers, they're like stacked. I'd be like, I'd come down here and lift weights.
Well, you look like you've been lifting some weights, Chris.
Thanks, I have been.
Excellent.
Glad you noticed.
We'll send them to the Olympic headquarters up there at Four Seasons.
They don't have a weight room up there, do they?
They don't?
I don't know.
I've never been to the hockey side of things. I have no idea.
I've walked through. I had to go. I went up there for timer training. Have you ever timed a match?
I heard this was extremely stressful.
It wasn't too bad. I just didn't think it was going to be a big deal. Like, so we had the mixed, is it mixed doubles? Is that just two people? No. Yeah, mixed doubles, national selection, wah thing. And I went up there and I was like, oh, I'm going to get out of work Friday morning and watch some curling. So I signed up. They're really good about sending out, like, volunteer stuff. So they sent out a deal, and I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Friday morning, I signed up for a slot and went up there for training. And at the training, I realized you have to watch every single shot. And, like, when it crosses the hog line, the T line to the hog line, and then you have to turn it off, and you have to watch when they clear every – you can't watch any curling. And then, so I got all sorts of anxiety leading up to it, and I did fine. Apparently, they had to, like, kick someone off the timing duties because he was watching the Tournament of Hearts while timing. So I got to time the Pottingers, who won that game. And I was pretty good, but if I messed up any timing, I messed up theirs a little bit. Not a lot, like maybe 15 seconds, 30 seconds, so I would have felt bad. I probably shouldn't just record that, but that's all right. They won.
You heard it here first.
They won the match, and they had plenty of time.
Hard-hitting journalism.
So, yeah. Yeah, right.
Is there anything you want to talk about?
He wants to talk about the high performance program.
That's right.
Juniors.
The high performance program.
You asked you asked me specifically about kind of my words, the future of junior curling. And I said keep it free, keep what we're doing on Saturday mornings, but we now have this nice new club just south and west of us, which makes a lot of curling in the metro area, including a couple facilities year-round. There's a lot of demand for junior ice time. And somehow we have to bring all these clubs together and find a way to decide what the next step is for junior curling. With high performance specifically, my boys team, the girls team, they're great curlers. They're really good curlers, but I can tell you they'll never have a chance at high performance. The way that that program is set up, it's not geared towards developing and fostering competitive curling at the junior level. Mm. It's about identifying a very small, select handful of people, recruiting them, grooming them, and making that single team or two teams the best that we can put on the table. Hmm. And it's just not fair to the rest of the junior curling program or to the future of the sport. The best strategy we can have, and this is listening to parents, other coaches at state playdowns, at other out-of-town bond spiels. In Minnesota, we need to develop a core list of junior curlers. So St. Paul, if we have 70 on the list that are junior curlers, we have to groom that list and identify who wants to curl competitively so we can begin to form teams, and not just form teams, but identify bond spiels that they can curl in, both for fun and to develop and to see if they want to continue growing within the sport and as individuals. For certain, we need to do that in the metro area, whether it's a junior metro board and we're focused on finding ice time for these kids more than Saturdays, or can we bring kids to other clubs and how does that look? Because we can't add any kids to our program. Used to be you'd curl down out of your club. So St. Paul would have a club champion for juniors and send that club champion to state. State went on, and it's like any other sport. It's who peaks at the right time, not necessarily who's the best. And now, despite how good you are, what kind of year you're having, you still have to face the high-performance team at the end of the year. And it's, you know, like was said at the junior national banquet this year, where my son Dylan was the performer. He's a professional magician.
He is excellent, by the way.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah.
He's good, and he walked off with a standing ovation. But one of the parents or coaches or instructors got up and said, going into this tournament, two teams had targets on their backs. That was the high-performance boys team and the high-performance girls team. Both won. Both are in Worlds. And all we can do is support them as curling under the flag of the United States, despite what we think about junior curling. So it is what it is, but we can affect a grassroots change, and it starts in the metro now.
What's your best shot of the year? Can you remember it?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Worst shot of the year?
It's been a bad year for our teams, our two teams. It's we had a really, every day runs together, doesn't it? Every league day does. But interestingly, I think one of our last games we had 10 to 14 rocks in play every end. Mm. That's not a lot of fun to do that.
No, that's high blood pressure times.
Yes.
That's harrowing.
But last Tuesday was we had a great game and kept rocks out of play and kept them to one and scored two or stole. That's how curling should be, but isn't always.
What do you throw on your team?
Depends.
Okay.
Vice skip or skip.
Harder to throw a rock or harder to call a rock?
Now, throw.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's great when you're the skip and your front end is throwing and is not missing a shot. All you have to do is come up and throw a draw.
Yeah.
That's easy. Yeah. Draws are easy. The future of our sport depends on our juniors. It really does. And that's why I'm running for the board. I'm not trying to win here, guys. If I win, that's my platform as juniors and the betterment of our sport and our club.
Great, Mike. Thank you so much for your time.
Yep.
Appreciate it.